From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, you're listening to Inside Agriculture. And it's definitely kind of a chilly morning. I don't care where you're at listening to the program this morning. Well, Congress could pass the Water Resources Development Act following the elections next month. Now, American Farm Bureau Federation says the bill will provide critical funding to ensure a viable inland waterway system. AFBF Congressional Relations Director Andrew Walmsley says passing the bill will keep WRDA on track.
Traditionally, we'd have a bill every 2 years, but we kind of got in the habit between 2000 and 2014 of only doing two bills in 14 years. So we had a seven-year gap, but there's a commitment by those on the Hill to get back to a two-year cycle. And so the Senate passed their respective WRDA bill, and the House followed suit shortly thereafter.
Now, he says work is ongoing to merge the two bills so lawmakers can pass WRDA during the lame duck session.
Congress is on recess and out of the campaign trail, but staff's working hard to try to mend the differences between the two bills, so hopefully we can have a conference WRDA report for members to look at and vote on once they get back here into Washington.
Walmsley explains why infrastructure funding is important to agriculture.
The ability for U.S. agriculture to outcompete those competitors we have around the world is partly due to our infrastructure. So keeping that infrastructure up to date, which we've neglected over the years, is important. The biggest impact of this WRDA bill is to get back on that two-year cycle of authorizing and funding important infrastructures that benefit not only agriculture but a whole host of industries across the country.
Well, of course, again, Farm Bureau Congressional Relations Director Andrew Walmsley. Well, Dannon claims the company was blindsided Monday when a half dozen ag groups attacked the company's shift away from GMO ingredients. Groups, including the American Farm Bureau Federation, sent Dannon a letter calling the switch marketing puffery. Dannon's CEO says the company was surprised by the divisive and misinformed letter. Dannon announced back in April the company would switch to non-GMO dairy feed for three of its flagship brands and begin labeling GMO products and other brands next year. Politico reports that Dannon stood by its sustainability claims, noting the company has built a direct and transparent relationship with dairy farmers. However, the letter by ag group says it appears to be an attempt to gain lost sales from your competitors by using fear-based marketing and trendy buzzwords. Well, we're going to take a break here. And when we come back, we're going to talk biotechnology. That's next. From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, you're listening to Inside Agriculture on a Wednesday morning. Well, agriculture's entered the 20-year anniversary of plant biotechnology. It's a scientific advancement most closely identified with Monsanto Company. Shannon Hauf of Monsanto says the milestone is a proud moment for the company.
We're proud of the products we've brought our farmers. I think most importantly, we appreciate the fact that for 20 years, they've chosen biotechnology and what the benefits that it brings to their farms. You know, as farmers adapted these technologies, they were very easily able to see the advantages that they brought to their farms. I think the challenge that we've had the last 20 years is such a small piece of the population are farmers, less than 2%. And so it's a long ways from the message that the benefits that these farmers saw on their farms to the actual consumers who had the ability to have a balanced plate at an affordable cost.
Now, she says biotechnology has brought many benefits for agriculture. Studies have proven insect-protected crops alone have brought increases in yields, increases in biodiversity in insects, and reduced the need for insecticides. She says, as growing up on a farm, she's seen the benefits, actually, firsthand.
Myself and my friends, our summers were spent walking bean fields. And certainly, I think, as I've gotten to learn about cotton, the same can be said for those teenagers who lived in the South. They walked cotton fields in the summers. And we were a little bit more sophisticated. We had the benefit of having a bean rider, which means you had teenagers riding on a bar in front of a tractor, spraying weeds out of the fields. And I think, you know, it's those types of remembrances 20 years ago that really see the benefits of biotechnology is just one example that many of us can remember when you think about before biotechnology.
Now, for the next 20 years, she expects to see more significant advances in biotechnology.
Probably, you know, if just in the next 5 or 10 years, we'll see greater advances than we've seen in the last 10 years. And if you think about what we're doing here at Monsanto, it's continuing to drive for bigger yields while reducing the reliance on input. It's taking data science to help us make better decisions here at Monsanto about our plant genetics, but then also taking data science and helping farmers make better decisions on those farms. And then it's really looking at brand new technologies such as genome editing and microbials and precision planting to really help that next generation of farmers have really prescriptive solutions on those farms.
Now, she says farmers can help the success of biotechnology in the future by telling consumers about the benefits of biotechnology.
Thanks to the farmers who gave us the opportunity to have 20-year celebration of biotechnology. You know, we've talked to farmers around the world, and we know that they've had the continued benefit of those technologies. And here at Monsanto, we're going to continue to work hard to bring them new technologies as you think about the next 20 years. And I think it's really about how do the less than 2% that feed the world get the message of the benefits of what we do and what they do on their farms to bring food to the world. And so we just ask, continue to engage in the conversation. We'll work hard to engage in the conversation, but I think it's much more meaningful when our farmers step up and really engage in that conversation.
Now, if you want to learn more about plant biotechnology, you can go to GMOAnswers.com. And if you want more of Monsanto's biotechnology efforts, go to discover.monsanto.com. Also, when it comes to what's going on inside agriculture, the American Soybean Association and the National Oilseed Processors Association are continuing their push for Congress to approve the Trans-Pacific Partnership Trade Agreement. Now, the two groups inform members of Congress this week they'll continue to pressure lawmakers to pass TPP during the lame duck session following the presidential election. Now, the message follows a new document on the benefits to soybean farmers, processors, and exports from the trade deal. ASA President Richard Wilkins says the document shows that there's too much promise in the TPP for us to give up. Prospects for passage of TPP are dim, with both presidential candidates opposed to it. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more about other issues in Washington. That's next. From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, you're listening to Inside Agriculture on 910 Classic Country, KCJB in Minot, Ag News 890, Lisbon and Fargo, as well as Farm News in Real Country, Thunder 106.1, also Lisbon and Fargo, North Dakota. Well, the pork and beef industry opposes pending new rules to boost farmers in livestock marketing. But the senior senator from the nation's largest pork-producing state supports the changes. Iowa is the nation's top pork-producing state, followed by Illinois, as of the latest data from the Ag Department. Longtime Ag Senator, Iowa Republican Chuck Grassley, argues pending USDA rules opposed by the National Pork Producers Council and the National Cattlemen's Beef Association to make buying and selling of livestock fairer makes more sense.
What's wrong with knowing what the marketplace is doing? I don't understand these complaints. So I'm going to applaud the Department of Agriculture if these rules turn out the way their letter stated, and I'm going to have to accept some disagreement with some of these commodity groups.
Grassley says many producers feel packers are manipulating prices with their ability to control supply, and some complain packers are skirting the intent of mandatory price reporting with the times during the week they're willing to buy livestock. Now, when asked about an informal economic study that put the cost of similar 2010 USDA rules at $420 million, Grassley responded,
I don't think I'm oblivious to the fact that sometimes government screws things up. But when you just get basic information out on the price that people are paying for a product so that other people can make a decision when they want to sell and make a judgment whether Packer A is treating them as fairly as Packer B, I just don't see the problem.
Grassley worked in the 1990s to include livestock marketing reforms in the Farm Bill, but complains the reforms have been blocked each year until recently in spending bills. USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack has pledged to complete the pending rules before the Obama administration actually is finished in, the lame duck session. Okay, we're going to take a break here. And when we come back, we've got an explosion at the world's largest chemical facility. It's killed two firefighters, shut down production. We'll talk about that next. From the Meridium Manufacturing Studios, you're listening to Inside Agriculture. And, of course, today being the middle of the week, I want to talk about what's going on during the middle of the week. Well, it happened the first part of this week. An explosion at the world's largest chemical facility has killed two firefighters and shut down production. The explosion at BASF's Germany plant near Frankfurt shut down the 4-square-mile complex on Monday that makes raw chemicals for BASF products. Now, BASF is the world's largest chemical company and says the facility is likely to face a prolonged shutdown. The complex is home to some 39,000 BASF employees. An extended shutdown may tighten earnings for BASF and benefit Dow Chemical, according to Bloomberg. There's no word yet on how the shutdown might impact the production of BASF's agriculture chemicals. BASF never joined the merger and acquisition trend within the ag chemical industry, but did reportedly enter talks with Monsanto to sell off BASF's Agriculture Solutions unit. However, that was before Bayer and Monsanto agreed on a merger worth $66 billion. Well, India's agriculture minister says the nation is aiming to triple egg production to combat the challenge of malnutrition. The poultry site reports India is already among the top egg producers of the world, with a total egg production close to 83 billion. But the domestic requirement is much higher. Agricultural officials in India say the per capita availability of eggs is only 63 per year, while the National Nutrition Institute prescribes for a minimum of 180. To triple production, India's government's taking steps to promote poultry farming. The agriculture ministry says one in every four children up to 5 years old is suffering from malnutrition, and that eggs can help a lot in combating malnutrition. While also in agriculture news, California almond growers are facing similar price troubles as Midwest row crop farmers. A predicted record almond harvest will drop prices again this year, as the U.S. Department of Agriculture projects the harvest to reach 2.05 billion pounds for the 2016-17 crop year. The harvest projection represents an 8% increase from a year ago and a slight increase from 2011-12 crop year record of 2.03 billion pounds. USDA says that while many areas are still under drought, trees have shown signs of recovery from multiple years of water deprivation. The increase in production may put negative pressure on prices received by growers. After a strong year of production, for example, grower prices fell from $4 a pound to $2.84 this year. Well, it looks like that's what's going on inside agriculture. Join me again tomorrow. Same place, same time. I'm Farm Director Terry Loomis.